Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, February 12, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the main page at ProWrestling.net today, details on the WWE star, hint, John Cena, who will be driving the pace car at the Daytona 500, John Moore's Lucha Underground hit list, Darren Gutteridge's NXT hit list, and my WWE SmackDown hit list all available. The .NET members are listening to the new .NET Weekly Audio Show with Jake Barnett and I discussing all the news of the week, including the Daniel Bryan retirement, all those WWE network numbers, well, I guess the main WWE network number and all the WWE financial numbers. Plus today, a new British Invasion podcast, Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed. Well, they were originally going to review Ring of Honor, and there's a comical reason as to why they could not. That has nothing to do with them. It's just, ROH put up the wrong show on their website. The members can hear them talk about that, and also the Daniel Bryan retirement. Plus, I jumped in. I took care of the Ring of Honor television review, all of those shows available exclusively to the members. You know the drill. If you're interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. On the right side, you'll find the sign-up area. Once you're in there, you will find three different pricing options. You can do it for 1 month for $7.50. If you want to save yourself some money, there's a six-month option. If you take that annual option, you will whittle that price all the way down to $5.50 per month. Again, all the details available at ProWrestling.net. If you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. All right, originally this was going to be my usual Friday audio show, but I've got to confess I'm a little bit pressed for time today, so I'm going to give you a few thoughts on SmackDown, and then I will end up turning this over to Zach Zimmerman and his NXT audio review. This was originally, the Zach show was originally going to be member exclusive, but you're getting a combo show today. Long story short, my girlfriend and I are celebrating our 19-year anniversary on Sunday, so we have some weekend plans that I need to get to, or there may not be a 20th anniversary. I've got to keep Mama happy. All right, let's get into SmackDown. I thought this was the best SmackDown show since it moved to USA Network. The funny thing about it is that they had a split crew. I think a good portion of the roster was already traveling overseas to Germany, where the crew is this weekend. So I think that explains why we saw Chris Jericho and AJ Styles do double duty by working that tag team opener and then return for the main event. I can't say I'm shocked by Jericho beating Styles. I think this is a real program between the two, and it would have lost steam if it were just lopsided completely in favor of Styles. There's no shame in a character losing to Chris Jericho. My concern is that Vince McMahon has just this refusal to create new incoming top stars. Like, take a guy who's new to the company and make him a star right out of the gate. It's not that Styles can't get there still, but Vince sees him as an underdog overachiever. He's made that very clear. In fact, Styles in his podcast appearance on Chris Jericho's show talked about that it's Vince who sees him as the pit bull, and Styles is behind the character. He seems into it. He may climb the ladder doing this. The issue I have with it is that he's 38 years old. You know, it's not like some kid who still has a decade of time left. There's plenty of time. They can take their time with this. I'd say a decade of time, at least as a full-time wrestler. I mean, you never know what anyone's going to do in the wrestling industry when it comes to how long they'll stick around. But WWE clearly needs top stars. I mean, it's one thing when they just have all their key players kind of cemented, but they've had so many injuries. WrestleMania seems to be short on star power. So I just say, why not cast AJ Styles as a major star right out of the gate? For that matter, Jericho feels like an upper mid-card guy right now. He could also be positioned stronger. I know he's kind of a part-time player. He works mostly house shows, and this is the first time we've seen him on TV for a while, and he kind of comes and goes. They need him to be in a strong position for Mania. And hey, maybe Jericho knows, like, he knows the game well enough, basically, to know that they're better off kind of being on an island right now than being in the regular main event mix. I still think they could do more with both guys, though. But I'm hoping that this feud is good enough that it kind of propels Styles to that point. But I guess either way, with Jericho kind of coming and going, enjoy it while it lasts. The other thing that jumped out from SmackDown was the Dudley Boys promo. They turned heel on Monday's Raw, and now the approach is that they're telling the live crowd they're not going to use tables. And, you know, that can't be the only thing they do in it. I don't think it's going to be. I mean, that just can't be the heart of their heel characters, just the refusal to use tables. But I just like this because it's finally giving Bubba Ray a chance to talk. He was so good as Bully Ray in TNA. He's a guy that I've said I would have brought in. I don't care what the deficiencies are in his game or anything like that. he's good enough on the mic. I would have brought him in and used him as a singles act and made him a top guy. You know, there's just so many opportunities they have, but they keep finding reasons not to. So at least the Dudleys are positioned as strong heels and really the only true heels in the tag division. I don't count the Ascension, I'm sorry. But I mean, it's because New Day, they kind of have their own, they're comedic heels. The Dudleys are going to go for real heat. And I think that's really great. And I think it's going to give the Uso brothers a chance to step up. Hopefully, they'll finally get to show some personality beyond just the entrance that they do and smiling a lot. These guys have been with this company for so long. We know so little about them outside of, unless you watch Total Divas. It's just crazy. So I'm really hoping that this is one of those programs that works well for both teams. Our question of the week, I was going to get into reading some of your responses today and get into some of my memories on Daniel Bryan. I will hold off on that until Monday, so you still have an opportunity to take part in this. Very simple. I'm just looking for your favorite Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson memories. I'd say both because it doesn't have to be WWE specific. You can include any personal interaction you may have had with Daniel Bryan over the years, however you want to approach it. But if you want to take part, you can email those to me at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. If you are a .NET member, you can place them right in the forum. Go to the members forum, and at the bottom of the list of staff members, you will find the .NET audio section, and you will find the thread that I've started for that. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Again, the personal interaction stuff would be great, but not everybody has it. So any memories you have, however you want to rank them, I just try to keep them to about a paragraph in length if you want them read. You're welcome to write more. I just can't promise you it's going to be read on the air. But again, we'll definitely get to those on Monday. Before I turn things over to Zach, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. And again, that's always appreciated because you're helping spread the word about the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast. Having said all of that, everybody, I apologize for kind of the audible that I had to call today, but I'm sure you will enjoy Zach Zimmerman's NXT audio review. Here he is.
Welcome to the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I am your host, Zach Zimmerman. Today we're going through the show that aired on February the 10th, 2016, taped back on January the 22nd, not at Full Sail University, but at the University of Central Florida. I believe it's just kind of right down the road from Full Sail University, but a little bit bigger arena. The setup was similar to what you'd expect to see at Full Sail, but there was somewhat less technology. There were just less screens, less lights everywhere. But to make up for that, there was a much larger crowd. You know, the crowd wasn't as intimate as maybe the Full Sail crowd would be, but they were definitely into the show. They were definitely up for the things that were worth getting up for. And having a crowd that big and that responsive to this product is kind of a refreshing change of pace. Usually we only get to see that, you know, at the live specials, but getting to see that for a regular episode of NXT was kind of cool. And I think we're getting two or three more weeks of that from here. Other than that, though, the show kind of, aside from the fresh atmosphere, it kind of followed the same pattern that the last maybe month or so, last month or so's worth of shows have really kind of fallen into, with a decent opener, a decent main event, and then everything in the middle is just kind of a forgettable squash. There's definitely some seed planting going on, some storyline progression, some slow, you know, storyline progression, just things beginning to take form. So that's definitely there, and I understand that, you know, these things have to happen, I guess, to get the ball rolling, but I just wish that they could make these shows a little bit more, just entertaining, I guess, during the time between live specials. But, I'll kind of touch more on that at the end of this show when I recap it. Let's jump right in. We went to just a brief little video package to hype the main event, which, featured besties, Carmella and Bayley, facing each other for Bayley's Women's Championship. Got the opening music video and came inside the UCF Arena. We were welcomed by Rich Brennan and Corey Graves on commentary. First match of the show was Baron Corbin versus Johnny Gargano. Corbin was met with large-scale boos when he entered the arena. Johnny Gargano got a big pop from this crowd, and they chanted Johnny Wrestling for him right out of the bell. They were very familiar with the guy, very much into Johnny Gargano here, very much not into Baron Corbin. Gargano kind of just tried to stick and move early, which you would expect with the smaller guy. It worked a little bit early, but just one right hand from Corbin put Gargano down, and that's kind of all it took to swing things Corbin's way. Corbin worked the heat for most of the match, and then Gargano made a little bit of a comeback. He got some of his offense in. He hit that rolling kick that he does, that Kalisto also does. Got the slingshot spear. Looked to follow up on that, but Baron Corbin hit that huge spinning side slam that he does. He's calling it deep six. It's a really good looking spot. I hit that, and again, just stopped Gargano's momentum cold. Rather than going for a pin, though, he just kind of stalled, and Gargano popped up eventually and caught him with a super kick, a great looking super kick that put Corbin down. It was a great near fall. People in the crowd bought into it. The commentators played it well. So good spot there. They brawled around ringside, but as soon as they got back in, Corbin hit the end of days and got the pinfall in about 6 minutes. So decent opener. It didn't overstay its welcome, which, like, as far as Baron Corbin goes, he can have a decent match as long as it doesn't go more than maybe, 5 to 7 minutes. And 6 minutes is right in that ballpark. Gargano made enough movement for him. The size differential was a good visual. Gargano plays the underdog well, fought from underneath well, sold well. So a decent opening match. Nothing great, but a solid opener. We went to a replay of the three-way main event from 2 weeks ago, with, of course, Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe both tapping Baron Corbin out at the same time. We went backstage where Sami Zayn was asked to react to William Regal's decision as far as making a straight-up number one contendership match between Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe. Zayn said that initially he was a little bit disappointed because he thought that he won the match, but he's not going to complain with the way things turned out. He said it's just another obstacle on his path that's kind of become his thing, is overcoming these obstacles, and this is just another one on the way to his second NXT Championship. He said next week is the first time he'll ever face Samoa Joe in a singles match. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but he's not going to let Joe stand in the way of him again becoming two-time NXT champion. We got the main event hyped again. We got an ominous vaudevillains vignette, which I'm still waiting for that hard turn from these two. They can't just show these vignettes every single week and think that that is going to turn them alone. They need to do something to get people to boo them. Back from these little vignettes and breaks and all that kind of stuff, we got the Hype Bros making their entrance. The crowd was not very hyped to see them. Their opponents were already in the ring. These two, we've seen them before in NXT. They were not announced here, but they now have matching gear, which is a nice little improvement for them. It is John Skyler and Corey Hollis. But this was not really much more than a squash for the Hype Bros. They worked over the jobbers in the ring. There was a brief distraction, which led to them getting the heat on Ryder. But then Mojo got the hot tag, hit a bunch of offense, and the Hype Bros hit the Hype Rider for the win in about 3.5 minutes. Stay hyped, everyone. We went backstage where Bayley and Carmella were. Well, this is actually interesting because usually when there's a title match main eventing a show, you get to hear from each of the competitors separately leading up to the match. But because Bayley and Carmella are best friends, they actually did their championship interview together. Bayley went first. She said the only thing that's proven harder than winning the women's championship has been keeping the championship. She listed off all the people that she's beaten: Eva Marie, Nia Jax, Sasha Banks, somebody else in that mix, Alexa Bliss. She said that she's proud of Carmella, but she's just not ready to let go of her title yet. Carmella said that this is the biggest opportunity of her career. She said that Bayley will always be her best friend, but when that bell rings, the friendship is going on the shelf for the time being. They agreed, let the better woman win. They shook hands and they walked off set. Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe was hyped as next week's main event, winner getting the next shot at Finn Balor's NXT Championship. And then Corey Graves just noted that we would be hearing from Samoa Joe later in the show, just giving his thoughts on the number one contendership match. Came back into the arena where Alexa Bliss made her entrance. She had her boys by her side, and Cameron was out next. Yeah, the crowd was not very happy to see Cameron. This was a heel versus heel match, so it kind of worked as such. Cameron got the heat in the first half of the match. Alexa Bliss made a little bit of a babyface comeback, but then kind of just settled into basically working the heat on Cameron. Really not too much going on until the end. The crowd was not very into it, except for the things that made Cameron look silly. That's what the only thing the crowd was rooting for in this match was for Cameron to look bad, which I guess you never really want that, but oh well, that's what it was. Alexa Bliss hit her back handspring knee drop thing and then hit the Sparkle splash, that kind of cartwheel splash off the top rope that she does in a little over 4 minutes. And the segment closed with Alexa Bliss high on Blake and Murphy's shoulders. We had both main event competitors shown preparing backstage. We got Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy cutting an interview. They just reminded tag champs Dash and Dawson that they have unfinished business. They said that they were the NXT Tag Team of the Year in 2015, and they're going to follow that up with the same award in 2016. They started singing some song when Chad Gable and Jason Jordan walked on set. Gable started singing along, but he did not know the words. Jason Jordan said that there's no way that there's just no way that Enzo and Cass can go back to back with the Tag Team of the Year awards when Jason Jordan and Chad Gable are on the roster, basically implying that, yeah, we're going to take the NXT Tag Team of the Year award next year, or this year. Chad Gable then said, yeah, plus, you know what this year is? It's 2016. And they were all like, huh? He's like, it's an Olympic year. And they were all like, huh? And, yeah, he thought that that kind of meant something. They didn't see the connection. Nobody did, not even his own partner. But then they agree that whatever the rest of the year may hold, they are fighting together in an 8-man tag match. I think that'll be next week. And they agreed that they're going to come out with the W. Chad Gable tried to get everyone to do his line at the end, but they all just kind of walked off. Came back into the arena where the Drifter drifted his way to the ring, and his opponent, Jesse Sorensen, was already there. The best part of this match was Corey Graves on commentary accusing Elias Sampson of being a total poser who just sits and listens to the jukebox and listens to Nickelback. The crowd chanted, drift away, at Sampson. I concur. He did absolutely nothing. He took 2.5 minutes to do 30 seconds worth of stuff. A lot of knee-based offense. Two or three knee strikes. Two or three knee drops. A choke with his knee. Hit a jumping knee strike. Hit that swinging neck breaker that he does and got the win. Drift away. The commentators wondered if or when we will even find out what this guy is about. We got a replay from last week's main event with Finn Balor beating Apollo Crews and the two shaking hands to end the show. And then we went backstage where Apollo Crews was asked to react. He was asked, actually, do you regret challenging Finn Balor? He said, no, I have no regrets at all. He said that I wanted a conclusive finish to the title match that we had a few months ago. I gave it everything I had. The result didn't turn out in my favor. He said, I had a brush with the best, and I know now what it's going to take for me to get there. He said, I'm not going to waste time talking about it and hyping it up, but the next time you see me, it's going to be a new Apollo Crews. I really, really liked the things that Apollo Crews had to say here. From a storyline point of view, that is how you tell this babyface's story. He's a good babyface. The fans know he's good. He knows he's good. But how good? We're not quite sure. He loses in a solid, moderately competitive match with the champion. Alright, now I need to go train harder. I need to work my way through the ranks. Let's start bottom up. And he comes back, and next time he goes for that title, he's a legit contender who has wins under his belt, who has experience under his belt, who hopefully has mastered his character and his personality a little bit more. Because as much as I liked what he had to say, honestly, my delivering that promo just now, was better than his was. He seems like a guy who's just kind of preoccupied trying to remember his lines, trying to remember what he's going to say, rather than naturally going from one thing to the next and actually progressing logically and naturally the way that he would as if he were speaking naturally. He just needs to loosen up. Don't overthink it. That's all. Just relax, man. Bayley was shown backstage preparing for the main event. We came back into the arena, where Carmella made her entrance, and she did her usual shtick on the way to the ring. And then the champ, Bayley, was out next. She got the big ovation from the crowd, and even Carmella was clapping along to her song. Both ladies got full in-ring introductions, and the two opened with a hug at the bell, of course. Bayley kind of got the better of Carmella before the break. And then we came back from break. Carmella made a little bit of a comeback, but Bayley planted her. The big power slam got a near fall. Bayley looked to follow up, but Carmella pulled her through the ropes and dumped her to ringside. And then after a minute of hesitation, Carmella was like, am I going to do this? All right, I'm going to do this. And then she hit the ropes and hit a big dive through the ropes, wiping Bayley out at ringside. It looked good, looked safe, looked effective. So thumbs up there. The crowd popped big. Carmella was down for a little bit, but then she popped up and she came up big, crowd popped for her, and she did her little shuffle and celebration. The crowd was right there with her. By the time that she had kind of done all this, though, the count was getting up there a little bit, and Bayley was maybe starting to work her way back to her feet. So what's Carmella do? She gets back in the ring, hits the ropes, and wipes Bayley out with another suicide dive. But this time, which I really liked, I really, really liked this. Instead of celebrating again, instead of doing anything, she just picked Bayley up, tossed her right back in the ring, and went for the win. She went for a pinfall, Bailey kicked out at two. Went for another pinfall, Bailey kicked out. Another pinfall, Bailey kicked out. I like the simple basic psychology there. It makes sense. She hit the dive, it worked for her. She wasted a little bit of time celebrating, goes back to the well. It actually pays off, and then she realizes that was a big move. I'm going to get the win. This is my chance. And she takes full advantage of it. I enjoyed that while it was happening. There was a brief exchange. Carmella looked like she was going to hit her finishing. She hits the flatliner, kind of like Sami Zayn does, except instead of the Koji Clutch, she does the Koji Clutch with her legs. But then Bayley slipped out, and they did a million and a half roll-ups, which finally ended when Bayley sank in a deep, deep cradle and got the pinfall. A little over 8 minutes. Post-match, the two hugged. Carmella shook her hand, kind of bowed to her a little bit, and left the ring to her. Left the ring for the champion to celebrate, as an honorable challenger would do after coming up short. Before long, though, Bayley's attention went to the ramp, where she noticed that Carmella was being mugged by Eva Marie and Nia Jax. Bayley ran in for the save, but Carmella was already down, and so the heels just kind of worked two on one and picked off Bayley easily. Beat her down, dragged her to the ring, put a pretty lengthy little beating on her. Crowd chanted, "You can't wrestle," at them. Moments later, though, the crowd popped big when Asuka just walked down to the ring. She didn't run down to the ring, she didn't slide in to make the big baby face save. She just hit the ring slowly. She walked down, jumped up on the apron, which was enough to stop the baby faces from attacking Bayley. And then she slowly got in the ring, and she just stared those two ladies down, and that was enough to get them out of the ring without even touching them. Asuka just held the ring, gave Bayley time to make it back to her feet. She just kind of stared the heels off. By this time, Carmella was back in the ring also, but she was still kind of down. Crowd chanted yes as Asuka and Bayley faced off in the ring, and they realized what was coming next. Asuka just kind of brushed her hand over the women's championship and smiled big. Then she left. She walked out. Bayley realized what she was in for and then turned her attention, kind of helped Carmella, and that's how the segment ended with Bayley and Carmella kind of down together in the ring. We went backstage where Samoa Joe addressed Sami Zayn. As far as their main event, number one contendership match next week, he said that Sami Zayn is obviously ungrateful. He said that Zayn's career, or that he saved Zayn's career and life, back when he debuted and saved him from Kevin Owens. But now he sees that he needs to take that all back. He said that when Sami Zayn looks into his eyes, he's going to see the inevitable standing before him. And the inevitable is that Samoa Joe is the next NXT champion. And that is the way the show closed. Great promo from Joe. Really, really enjoyed that. Just great stuff there. The match itself, it was kind of Bayley leading Carmella through a decent match, passable match. Not great, not bad, but not great. Just kind of there. I kind of saw it more as another name and another defense to kind of put in the list, the accumulating list of Bayley's successful defenses before she drops that title. So as far as that goes, it was fine, and I like the story of the two being best friends and then them using that to not only get heat back on Eva Marie and Nia Jax, but also bring in Asuka to set up the title match for, I presume, the next TakeOver with Bayley versus Asuka, TakeOver Dallas. So we will see. All things are hopefully ramping up for TakeOver Dallas because the pattern and pace of these shows just isn't quite cutting it for me. But, the show had enough bright spots where it was all right. And next week with Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn should be good. Looking forward to that. That's going to do it for me. Take care, everyone.